Good morning, everybody, or evening, or however it finds you. It's morning to me, and I recorded the sermon a couple days ago and discovered last night at 9 o'clock that the recording was terrible and that it didn't work very good because Wi-Fi at where our camper is horrible. And I thought I had gone to the best place. They ensured me that I had. And so anyways, this is a take two. So sorry about this particular background. I tried to get it as scenic as I could get it. And I am borrowing this lovely establishment's Wi-Fi. And so that's thankful, and I'm in my pickup, in the cab, in air conditioning, and I'm trusting that you will enjoy the Lord with me this morning, and as I redo this teaching. But let me say this: I can't wait to be back together next week. We're going to be in 1 Peter. And it's going to be a great series, and we're going to be live. That is, we're going to be at Crosswind. And so we're going to be safe and live. And so look forward to seeing you there. And I wanted to do this teaching this week because this teaching I do probably as much as any teaching. This is the text that I use probably as much as any text when I'm helping people who are in conflict. And that is when I'm helping people who are fighting and they can't figure out how to stop and they want to, and their fighting has come to the point where it's disrupting their relationship. And so this is the text I use. And it's amazing text, and it answers two questions. Where's your fight coming from? And it answers the other question: what's the solution? And it's short, it's sweet, but it's an extraordinarily powerful text, and it really gets to the heart of the matter. Every fight comes from the same place. And every fight solution is the same place. So the Bible tells us, it says, do everything without quarreling and without arguing. And if we're quarreling and arguing, we're not doing what we were designed to do, or we're sinning. And the question is, well, how can I do everything without quarreling and arguing? I mean, you could make a case that we're two different people and we need to fight it out, you know, and figure it out. And that's a good case to make. Fair enough. But God says that we need to do it in a way that is godly, that honors Him, and that honors who we are in Him. And so I'm going to read this text to you and make some comments about it. And I hope that it blesses you. It surely has blessed me and many, many others. I'm in James, 3rd chapter, if you want to follow along with me. James, 3rd chapter. And you'll want to underline some of these texts. So grab your Bible and follow along with me. And the Bible says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And so he's setting it up with this question. If you want to be a wise person, your conduct is going to be conducted in the meekness of wisdom. And then he's going to say, this is the anti of that, the antithesis. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, in your hearts, don't boast and be false to the truth. So there's this the anti meekness of wisdom is selfish ambition, or just it's all about me. It's all about me, and I'm focused on me, and it's all about me. That's selfish ambition. And in other words, I'm ambitious to make sure my needs get met. And so the Lord says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above. If you're focused on yourself, it's not the, if you're ambitiously focused on yourself, that it's not the wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly, it is unspiritual, or some say natural, or some say like fleshly, if you will, and it's demonic. So you say, whoa, that's demonic, that's a little heavy. But listen what he's saying. What are the three things that we fight against? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, there they all are. Earthly, the world, unspiritual, the flesh, and demonic, the devil. There you go. There's the three bangos. And what he's saying is there's a wisdom that is makes sense. It makes sense. It's earthly. It makes sense, you know. And but the problem is that it's out of order and it's out of God's order. And then he says this. He reiterates the two telltale signs that you've gotten into earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. And that's this: for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. If there's chaos, if there's disorder, if there's all kinds of bad stuff going on, and he's going to apply this directly to our fights in just a minute, then we know that what we're doing is that we are have selfish ambition and jealousy, and jealous for ourselves, if you will, jealous for our interest. And he's not talking about jealousy like I'm jealous of my neighbor, even though we'll see later that's a part of it. But what I'm talking about is I'm jealous for my self-interest, and I have selfish ambition, and I yearn jealously for that. And I'm using that language specifically because God's going to say it about himself in a second in the big kaboom passage where he shows us what the whole thing's all about. But, and he says, so, he says, jealousy and selfish ambition, when they exist, that's because we're using wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, and there's going to be disorder, or there's going to be chaos, and there's going to be every vile practice, or there's going to be all kinds of bad stuff happening. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle, and then it's open to reason. It doesn't have to have its own way. The Bible says that love doesn't have to have its own way. It doesn't seek its own. Doesn't have to have its own way. Some translations you translate that phrase willing to yield. When you're in an argument, how often are you willing to yield? Full of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy's not giving the person what they deserve. They hurt you and ticked you off, but you're not giving them what they deserve. That's mercy. Good fruits, it's impartial, which means it's open to listen to the other side. It's like Philippians 2:1 says that it can hear the other side of the story. It can hear what the other person's thinking. And it is sincere. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so we're going to look at this. We're going to look at fighting. And we're gonna try to understand why fighting and quarreling, which God says don't even to do, why it is wrong, how it happens, what's at the root of it all, and we can see one thing that's at the root of it is that there's this worldly wisdom that's involved, this earthly wisdom, this devilish demonic wisdom that's involved, that's self-centered and that has to have its own needs met. So now here's the big verse. Point number one is what I said, the first thing was what we're going to talk about, where every fight comes from. And by the way, this is kind of a summary of a 7-series talk that I did about 2 years ago on conflict resolution. And this is just a summary of it, but it really points out one point that I didn't do very well with when we were in the 7-point series. And actually, I think it was the big thing, and I just didn't do it very well. And so I'm going to do it well today. Hope that was allowed. So here we go. What causes quarrels and fights among you? So that's the question. What causes quarrels and fights among you? It's actually the cause of them, the Bible says. It doesn't act like it doesn't say some. So we can conclude that when a broad statement is made like that, that's exactly what God means about it. It's broad. And so what causes quarrels and fights among you? And listen to this answer. This is an amazing answer, and you're going to understand it today with some degree of clarity. And when you do, it'll help you every single time that you're wanting to get into a fight. Is it not this, that your passions, your longings, your desires, your needs, your wants, let me say them that way, wants is a desire. Your passions, translated all four of those words, your passions, your longings, your desires, your wants are at war within you. That's it. What causes a fight is what the counseling community calls disordered desires. It is a desire that has become a self-interest, and it's a desire, it's a want, it's a passion, it's a longing that I have bad enough that I'm willing to hurt you to get it met, that I'm willing to fight for it. I'm willing to fight for it to get it met. Listen to what the Bible says. It says you desire, you long, you want, and you don't have, so you murder. So you murder? That sounds a little strong. I thought we were just talking about quarreling here. He's gone all the way to murder. Well, what does he mean by that? So the Bible says that our words bring life, or they bring what? Death. That's right. So many times we use our mouth, especially when we're angry, especially when we have this disordered desire. We use our mouth and we hurt people really bad, and we murder them. The Bible says, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when you're angry, and that's the only time that you're going to get to this quarrels and fights, when you're angry, the Bible says that what is going on in your heart, it's the beginning of murder. And it's the same thing, like when the Bible says, when you lust, you're committing adultery in your heart. The Bible says, when you're angry, you're murdering in your heart. And so we look through, when you're angry, don't sin. So we're not talking about that initial feeling of injustice, but what happens next goes right straight to, I'm going to get you for what you did to me. And in this case, the quarrel and the fight is, what you actually did to me is you didn't do for me what I wanted. You didn't do for me what I longed for. You didn't do for me what I desired. You didn't do for me what you didn't fulfill my passions. And so the Bible says, and you covet and you can't obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So you covet. Covet's the same thing, right? It's a desire. In other words, I want it so bad. I want it so bad. And so like that covetous, usually we're thinking about, I want somebody else's stuff. But this is, in this case, it's like, I want it for me so bad. I desire it for me so bad. So remember, this is selfish ambition. This is ambition turned inward. This is me being ambitious for me. And I want it so bad that I'm willing to fight and quarrel. And then it says, you don't have it because you don't ask. And so you say, wait a minute, that's half of what my fight's about. Half of what my fight is about is me asking and me saying, you better meet my need. You know what I mean? And I'm going to get to a good analogy here in a minute, and to help land what this is talking about. And it says you have because you don't ask, and you ask because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. In other words, the reason you're not getting what you want is because you're asking wrongly to spend it on a disordered desire, on a desire that has gotten out of control, on a need that has, on a want that has gotten out of control, on a longing that has gotten out of control. And it has gotten out of control in a specific way that God's going to teach us in this next verse. You spiritually adulterous people, you adulterous people. Like, okay, what's he talking about now? Right? And how did you get from I'm fighting with my husband to I'm adulterous? Well, he's going to show us. You spiritually adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now he's going back to this world wisdom. He's going back to this earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom. And he's saying buying into that or tying into that is enmity with God. You're actually at odds with the wisdom that's from above, God's wisdom. Okay, what is he saying? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Now, you remember this passage out of 1 John 2:16, where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And for everything that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, same what we're talking about here, the desires of the eyes and the pride of life are not of the Father, but they're of the world. So God says, don't love the world. And if you love the world, you're not loving me. If you love the world, you don't love me. And in other words, he's saying that you're buying into this earthly wisdom when you're loving the world. And the world is your desires, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, right? And so I'm going to give you a good analogy. It's going to help you tie it up. And then he says this great verse, and there's his number one, where do all the fights come from? They come from your longings, your passions, your desires, your wants that are disordered within you. And then here's the second thing. The second thing is this, the Lord, which was the answer. What's the answer to the problem? So listen to this in verse 5. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Do you suppose, listen to this, that it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Oh, man. So God says this. God says, listen, he says, here's the problem. The problem with your disordered desire is this. I am a jealous God, and I'm jealous over your heart. And I'm not going to let your heart get disordered by a desire and a longing that I have met from above. And I'm not even going to let the person that you're trying to fight with to get to meet that need, I'm not going to let it work. You don't get what you ask for. That's what that's about. You're asking for it, but he can't meet your need. You're asking for it, but she can't meet your need. Let me give you an example. So, I'm going to give you an old school example. This isn't the way it exactly is. Okay. So, because we've changed roles a lot now that both people are working in the family, but let me give you an old school example. So let's say that there's a wife and she just is Susie Homemaker. I mean, she's so good at cleaning the house and taking care of everybody. And man, it's just her vocation and she does it just better than anybody. She's just marvelous at it. And so one day she is just making the house sizzle and man, she gets done and she looks at the place and she goes, man, this place, oh man. I mean, in baseball terms, because she's a baseball fan, all good wives are, she would say, I just hit a home run. I mean, this thing's awesome. Look at this place. And in comes husband, and he's been working all day, and he walks in, and of course, what she expect? Well, she's sitting there going, man, he's going to see this place and just light up, man. I mean, and what happens is he comes in, throws the stuff down, just totally doesn't see it at all. Now, let me talk about it from two different perspectives. Let me talk about a woman. Let's say that this wife never was affirmed when she was growing up. She was never told anything that she did was good. She was always criticized. She was always told that she had blown it and it wasn't enough and she wasn't enough. And so she really needs somebody to notice when she's doing a good job. And she longs for that. And she desires it. And so when her husband comes home and doesn't see it, she says, really, honey? I mean, look around. After all I've done, I mean, I just killed it in here today. I mean, the place is beautiful. And I do this for you. And you don't even say a single thing when you walk in the house. You just throw your stuff down. And then he said, well, honey, I've been at work all day. And okay, fine. The house is fine. I mean, it looks great. Of course it does, you know, and you know, gosh. And then they're off to the races. And so here's what happens. It's a disordered desire, and she didn't get what she asked for from the guy either, did he? Because even when he gives it to her, she's going to say, well, you just gave it to me because I had to ask for it. You should have gave it to me without me having to ask for it, right? See, so she asked, but she didn't get what she had because she was still trying to meet this need on the inside of her. She needed to be affirmed. She needed to be affirmed. And here's the problem. Remember what the solution is? The solution is this. The Spirit dwells jealously over her heart. And so here's what God says. God says, honey, I'm not going to let your husband meet that need in your heart. And remember when we were looking at the passage in Ephesians about do your work as unto the Lord? It's like, here's the thing. I made you to be this awesome person. You're so organized and you're so excellent at what you do. And I made you to be that way. And you're doing that unto me. And I affirm you. I think you're awesome. You know what I mean? I think that you're working out. Those are good works that I prepared for you to do. And you did and had you done them unto me, you would have felt like you would have known that I was proud of you and that you were imaging the very thing that I designed you to be, and you would have just felt great and you would have hit a home run, and then when your husband came home, you'd have thought, hey honey, I hit a home run today, man. Look at the house. And he was like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. And if he ain't got no time for it, you're like, fine, I would I mean, like, if you can't you see it, okie dokie, man. But look, you know, I did this for the Lord, and I feel great about it. And you see, God's not going to let your husband meet a need that he's designed to meet. And vice versa, you husbands. Some of us just so need to be stroked all the time. I mean, and that's just using affirmation, which affirmation's a real common one, right? I just need to be stroked all the time. Every time I do something, you know, I'm just, you know, waiting for the pat on the back, you know. And there's all these other needs too. I mean, you know, I mean, and no matter what it is, the Lord, this is the key to it. Listen, if you have a desire that you're willing to fight about, two things I'm going to tell you. Number one, it's disordered. It's out of order. And God dwells jealously over your heart. He's not going to let what you're fixing to do next work. And number two, even if you get what you were fighting for, you're not going to believe it. Because if, like, let's say I'm not being very affectionate to my wife and she wants me to be affectionate. And so she starts fighting about it, you know. And, you know, really, you know, you're not being affectionate to me and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And so then I'm affectionate to her. What does she immediately think? Well, you just did that because I was fighting for it. You don't really mean it. Right? So what if, and by the way, don't let me say this wrong. Are we supposed to be affectionate to one another? Of course we are. If I'm not affectionate to my wife, I'm sinning against her. Am I supposed to affirm my wife? Of course I am. If I'm not affirming my wife, I'm sinning against her. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, am I not supposed to do those things? I'm talking about, yes, I am supposed to do those things. And my wife loves it when I do those things. And my wife needs those things. All that. What I'm talking about is when it is so deep that I'm willing to fight about it. And if you're willing to fight about it, let me tell you this, it's a disordered affection. It's a disordered desire. And so where do our fights and quarrels come from? They come from our longings, our desires that are within us, that are waging war. They start waging war. And God says, no, I'm jealous over your heart. No, that jealousy, that selfish ambition, that you're going to try to get other people, you're going to try to get the world, you're going to try to get your boss to make you feel good about you, you're going to try to get your husband to make you feel good about you, or your wife to make you feel good about you, or you're going to try to get the, you know, I don't care what it is. I'm not going to do it. Because the gospel and what I've done for you in Christ Jesus is the thing that ought to fulfill you. And so I'm going to grab your heart, and I'm not going to let it be satisfied with any of these cheap substitutes, because I'm the one who yearns jealously over your heart. And when you finally get it, then guess what? All your ability to have all those needs met will finally work, because it won't be out of order. It'll be working like it's supposed to, and people will be loving each other. It's just like this thing. If I have to hustle love and then I get it, well, I don't trust it because I had to hustle it. But if I know that I am loved, then I don't have to hustle love. I can just love you, whether you love me or not. I can love, the Bible says, expecting nothing in return. And the only way I can do that is if I know that I am loved. That's what God's saying. I am jealous over your heart, and I'm not going to let you be fulfilled by anybody except by me. I'm your husband. I'm not going to let you step out on me. I'm not going to let you commit spiritual adultery on me. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to meet your needs. I'm your husband. And then when you get back to that earthly guy that I gave you, he'll be able to love on you too. I hope that helps. God bless you. See you next week in person.